So last week we ended the service with a few verses, and I want to thank my dad for sharing scripture last week and opening up the word for us and looking at it. How many of you, we were kind of challenging you to do something that was very regular in looking over these verses and reading and praying over them and asking the Lord to bring them to your mind. How many of you did that at least a little bit this week with those verses? Okay. How many of you experienced or felt better or experienced something that was good due to that? Would you say? Very good, very good. Any of you want to share anything this morning? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Any instances? Yes. The words were alive. Yeah, they stayed with her through the day. So the words were alive and they stayed with her through the day. Did any of you experience it, you know, or you're reading through specifically, like I like Psalm 118:24. Where it says, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice. And I usually say, I will rejoice, because it's me, right? I will rejoice and be glad in it. How many of you said that, but then at some point in the day, you were not glad in it? Okay? This isn't just like a one and done type of thing. This is something that we're trying to do. We're really trying to rewire our mind to think of God's goodness at the very beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, near the end of the day. And there's a lot more verses that do that than just the ones that we went through. And I want to read those to you again to just refresh your mind. And I took a picture of this on my phone so that I have it with me. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3:5-7. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. It's Matthew 6:33. And then 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And then Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now Matthew 6:33 is an interesting one. It says, seek the kingdom above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So this morning, I want to almost go to the prerequisite. So how many of you have watched movies where they go to the prequel, or they go, you know, 100 years and before the story starts? You know, Star Wars, I think, does that. A few different stories, or when they get tired of the stories, they start going back. We can live in these verses, and we can repeat them, and we can meditate on them. But if they're not changing our heart and we're not allowing them to change our life, it becomes a practice in religion. It becomes a practice in just trying to do and add something. And so the goal isn't to make you busy. The goal isn't to make you busier or to make you feel more holy or to make you feel like you're doing something that's getting you closer to God. The goal is really to be obedient. When we look at Matthew 6:33, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I have been personally guilty of this, where I'll have these verses in my mind. I know the promises of God, and I want those good things. How many want the blessings of the Lord? Yeah. I want my family to grow up in faith and to be obedient to God's word. I want God to supply the needs that I have, and I want him to be active in my life. I want to feel close to him when I come to worship on Sundays. But sometimes there's things in my life that are unresolved. Sometimes there's something in my heart or in my life that I haven't dealt with that's keeping me out of the fulfillment of the promises of God. I can have all of these promises, but if I'm not doing what the first part of the verse says, if I'm not placing the kingdom of God above all else, if I'm allowing something else in my heart or in my life to become first and foremost, then I'm not going to see the blessings of the Lord the way I would if I was walking the right way. So how many of you have tried to apply scripture before living out the portion that you're supposed to live out? Have you ever done that? Now, I'm not talking about salvation. We all know that when we come to Jesus Christ, we're not deserving, and we need forgiveness in order to even come to him. What I'm talking about is something that continues after salvation, something that is an ongoing process. Some people call it sanctification. Others call it, you know, cleansing and holiness and this type of thing. And my goal today isn't to heap guilt on you. But what I want to do is allow the Holy Spirit space and time to speak to you. Because I think sometimes we have the blessings in our life. We have the provision in our life. How many of you would you say, you know, life is okay right now? You know, you got food in the fridge. You had wheels that got you here somehow. You have the blessings of God, but you're not enjoying them the way you see in Scripture. You're not enjoying them as maybe others do, even when they have less. So the question is, why? Why do we see the goodness of God, but don't take joy, peace, comfort, and excitement in that? Why is it that it takes us a while to get revved up and to actually, you know, get excited about what God is doing, get excited about the future? When I look at my own life, and maybe this is applicable to you too, I'm hoping it is, otherwise I'm just preaching to myself, okay? I can meditate on the scripture, I can try to live it out, but there's little sections in my heart, in my life, in my attitudes, in my thoughts, and in my obedience, whether I do it or not do it. You know, there's a sense of omission and sense of commission. Sense of omission are things that we don't do that we know we should do. Sense of commission are things that we do that we know we ought not do. Everyone got that? We're clear? So do what you're supposed to do. Don't do what you're not supposed to do, right? There's areas in my life where I'm not 100% obedient, where I'm like 85% obedient, or I'm 95, or I'm 10% obedient in that area, right? And then I wonder why I don't feel like I'm walking in the fullness of God's grace. I don't feel like I'm enjoying the blessings that he's given me. It's not that God is necessarily cursing me. It's not that God is necessarily withdrawing his blessing. It's that I'm not even enjoying what he's given me. And I think that has to do with closeness. I think that has to do with relationship with God. Because truth of the matter is, I would rather go through the storm with Jesus than take a nice, sunny, warm day path by myself. Because the proximity to me, to God, is going to make a big difference in my heart and in my life. It's going to change the way I view things. It's going to change how I feel. It's going to change the way that I act and the way that I live. So you're not only called to be saved. You're not just here for salvation. That's not the only thing that's out there. You're called to be walking in obedience to God's word. And when you know God's word and you don't walk in it, then there's a consequence. You know, your mind knows, your conscience knows, and the Holy Spirit knows as well. And I don't think we can walk in the full joy. So you know, some people say, well, I don't know how people make it without God in this world. And I would agree with that. I don't understand how they can make it without God. But I want you to realize that sometimes the most miserable people on the face of the earth are people that believe in Jesus Christ. You're like, wait, what? They believe in Jesus Christ. They have salvation. They're saved. Their ticket's punched to heaven. But they're not walking in obedience. So it's like knowing better and choosing the wrong path. You with me? Have you ever seen anybody like that? This is why I think, I'm preaching to the choir right now. This is why I think it's so important to be in church and to be in community. Because it's one of the requirements that God says that we're to do. My mic faded. It's one of the things that we're called to do. Like, our faith isn't just our own. We're called to be together as the church and to have community. And when we go into Acts 2, we see it very clearly. And they met, you know, and they broke bread, meaning they ate together. You know, that's why we do things in the fellowship hall like that. And hopefully, you know, maybe you can grab a friend after this if you're going out to eat and, you know, say, come along with me, or have a crock pot at home or whatever it is. Invite people in to eat with you. It says that they, believers, broke bread together. They had fellowship. They were real with each other. There's something that connects with you when you sit down and you eat with somebody. And they also heard the word all the time. They were in the apostles' teaching. They were listening to the instruction that they had. They were hearing about Jesus and what Jesus did for them. And because of that, they were being saved, but they were also being empowered to serve. So we're not just saved to sit, amen? We're saved to serve. You can't be a fully committed believer of Jesus Christ and just come and meet with Jesus on the weekends. He doesn't want weekend custody. He wants you how much of the time? All the time. He wants full custody. If you are a child of God, he isn't waiting for the weekend to talk to you. He wants your attention now. He wants your attention all the time. That's the neat thing about these verses. You know, you take those home and you meditate on those, memorize them, you repeat them to yourself. And what you're doing is you're opening up space for God to speak to you. You're giving him ear. You're allowing him to talk to you. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I pray so much that I'm not praying right because I'm not stopping and waiting for God to answer. Part of prayer is space and time and allowing God to speak to us. And if we're so anxious to say something, if we're so anxious to get to where we need to go, we forget that we're on this journey with Jesus. That he's promised to walk with us. And whenever Jesus is walking with people in the Gospels, what was he doing? He was teaching them. He was guiding them. He was showing them. He was saying, hey, look at those sheep over there. This reminds me of something spiritual. He said, look at the fields. The fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The souls are ready as well. We need harvesters out there for the souls. This is what Jesus would do. He would pull you in with his teaching. And guess what? We don't have physically Jesus right next to us, but Jesus said, when I ascend to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will be your guide, your comforter, your healer, your protector, and he will instruct you in all things. Is he doing that? Because I guarantee you he's trying. It's just sometimes we've allowed our decisions and our choices to mute him like we would a television. We've muted him and we don't hear it. We know he's there, but we're not listening. And then we start praying prayers like, oh God, if you would just change this and do this big thing so that I can, you know, I can just see your hand at work and I can walk in this completely and I can have this blessing. And if you could take care of my debt, I would just be so relieved. And if you could help me do this, you know, if I could get that promotion, if I just had that promotion, I know that I'd be able to have more peace and I'd be able to praise you better. And if this strife in my family was just gone, then everything would be so much easier. And the truth of the matter, none of that would change a thing because you're still not walking in obedience with God the Father. What you're asking for is a symptom of obedience without the process of it. You want the blessing without being in proximity to the Father. You want God to shower down on you the good things in your life, and you want that peace and you want that joy, but you're unwilling to walk the walk to get there. I can look back on my life and see that over and over. Man, I was like 10 years old on the baseball diamond praying to God and making deals with him so we'd win the championship. You ever done that? Jesus, if you just let me hit this ball, I promise I'll stop being mean to my brothers and sisters. Yeah. 5 minutes later, I don't want. This is what we do. We try to barter and bargain with God. And I think part of that's natural because that's how we live in the flesh and that's how we live out there in the normal world. I want you to, this isn't going to be on the screen real quick. I want you to open the Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's near the front of the Bible, okay? And if you have the Burgundy Bible, it's page 170 or 169. All right? That's actually 170, okay. Chapter 28, verse 1, it says this. The header says blessings for obedience, okay? It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. And wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they'll scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. And the Lord will send rain at the proper time for his rich treasury in heavens, and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Man, I wish we were doing that now, right? Amen. If you listen to these commands of the Lord, your God, that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will always be on top and never on the bottom, and you must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow any other gods and worship them. Awesome, right? How many of you want to walk in that blessing? Woo! All right, so let's just stop right there, right? All the blessings of the Lord are mine. I'm going to walk in that fullness of blessing. All right, let's all stand and pray and close. Now, I don't know if you noticed it. It's kind of a little bit of foreshadowing there. What happens next? What is the header in chapter 28, just above verse 15? What does it say? Curses for disobedience. Oh, heavens, no, we don't want to talk about that. We're live on Facebook. We can't do that. Come on. If it's in God's word, it's God, right? How many of you want the blessings but not the curse? Yeah, I would say that'd be great. But here's the reality of the situation. God has said it in his word, and he said, this is how I treated my people in Israel. And then he said to us, hey, you're grafted in. You're a part of this now. You're part of this plant. You're attached to the root again. You're grafted in as Gentiles who believe in Jesus. It says this, but if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God, starting in verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, and do not obey all the commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed. Your children, your crops will be cursed. The offspring, your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed. And it goes on, and it's super depressing. All right? It says disease and mildew and rot and inflammation. It says all of these things. Your body is just going to break down. You're going to have scurvy. You're going to have tumors. You're going to have all these things. You'll be engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. This is horrible stuff. You'll build a house, but someone else will live in it. You'll be dispersed among the nations. You'll be sold into slavery. You're going to try to go back to Egypt. You're going to do all these things in Deuteronomy 28 on the second half. So what is God doing? He's warning them, right? How many of you, as parents, as father, as a mother, have warned your kids the consequences that are about to be dropped on them if they do not obey? Things are about to get tough, right? Things are about to get difficult. God the Father is the same way. It says he chastens, he disciplines those he loves. If he didn't love you, he'd let you be a rebel and run wild and free, give you whatever you want, be the arrogant person that you want to be. But what does he do instead? He says, no, follow me, I'll give you blessing. Start going your own route. There's going to be something to pay for. Now, this is his people he's talking to. He's not talking to the other nations around there. They don't know of this. And so when we open up Scripture and we know God's word and it says, do this, and then we go, don't feel like it. Not, I don't really want to do that today. That sounds difficult. Like, I don't... Seek the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. How about seek the Lord with 65% of my heart? How about I bargain here? Because I'm good with 65% blessing, so maybe God would be good with 65% of me. What does it say there? No, if you don't follow all of the law, if you do not follow all of the word, then what is it? You're accepting curses. So God isn't just in the business of blessing us. He's in the business of making us holy and right standing. So what was the purpose of these curses? Was it just to be mean and vicious? Is God mean and vicious? Does he not love his children? What is the purpose? The purpose is correction. Amen? The purpose is correction and changing direction. It's being set back on the right path. It's being set back on the straight and narrow. It's being put back into position in alignment with where God wants you to be. Two Thursdays ago, I was moving something that was 25, 30 pounds. I'm carrying the box, and I'm in the church, and I walk over to the other side, and I put the box down. And as I go down, I'm not even going to go down right now because I'm worried it's going to happen right in front of you, like God's going to say, hey, just so they see it, visual illustration. As I put it down, I went, ah! Know what happened? I wrenched something that was all the way up here and around here, and I barely stood up, almost fell over, and I thought to myself, first of all, did Tara hear me in the office? Second thing I thought is, can I walk? Am I going to be able to move? Can I walk? I was like, I don't even want to try right now. I'll just stand in this pain. And then I moved, and I was doing the shuffle. Walked past Tara's office. And then, you know, like 30, 40 minutes, I'm like trying to stretch out and just move. I'm sitting in the chair going, oh. Tara's, what is wrong with you? Need some ibuprofen? Yes, yes, I need that. So what goes on? Why does that happen? Well, I've seen the x-rays of what's going on in my body sometimes. My posture isn't correct. I've got a neck that's a little bit forward placed, so it's not in the right position. And then when I was lifting, guess what I wasn't doing right? Using my legs, right? Let's just do this with my back. You know, part of the reason I did it with my back is because my knee's been feeling weird lately. So I'm like, well, I'll just baby my knee, because my knee's messed up. Now my back's messed up, and now I'm messed up, and I'm trying to move, and I'm still messed up. This is what happens, guys. One little thing puts us out of alignment. Maybe we tweak our knee spiritually. And then we adjust what we do in the rest of our day. And then when we come home and we talk with our wife, we don't have the grace of God upon our language. And we're walking in pain, so we dish pain out to someone else. And then we get arrogant and we get upset because we see somebody else that's maybe doing worse than us, but they're doing the same thing as us. And we think, what, they should know better. And we get gossipy and we get angry and we talk bad about people and we slander them for the same thing we're doing. And we're just wrenched and we're twisted and we're torqued and every bone and muscle is agitated and it won't release. And this is what happens in the spirit sometimes, because we're not aligned with God the Father, because we're not in his will, and we're not walking the way that he designed us to walk. We're not living in the Holy Spirit the way he designed us to live in the Holy Spirit. And then we can't figure out why we're experiencing pain in the rest of us. We have to align with the power of God. Amen. We have to get direction from him, and we have to let him pull those muscles where they're supposed to go and twist that bone to where it's supposed to go and bring us back into the grace that he wants us to walk in, and the peace and the health and all of that. But it takes process, and it takes time, and it takes breaking, and it takes struggle. And sometimes we're unwilling to do the struggle of obedience in order to get where God wants us to be. So it isn't just praying and asking for things and expecting them to happen like magic. That's not how it works. God says, you must obey and follow me. You know, Jesus woke up every morning and pursued the will of God. He didn't have it just downloaded into his brain. He pursued. He said, I only do what the Father wants me to do. Can we say that? I know I can't. I only do what the Father wants me to do. If you have seen me, you have seen who? You've seen the Father. I want people to see me. I want people to see you. And if they've seen you, see Jesus Christ. I want you to be fully submitted under the authority of Jesus Christ so that everything is aligned and you have the power that you need in order to live daily for him. You can't expect your body to work correctly if you're doing all the wrong things to it, if you're putting all the wrong things into it, if you're living in a way that it wasn't designed to live. And you can't do that with your Holy Spirit either, with God's Spirit. You can't do it with your spirit and expect God to just fix it all. That's not how it works. I came to this, you know, this is not a revolutionary idea, but listen to this. God will not reward bad behavior from his kids. Amen? He's too good. He's too good of a God. You say, well, why doesn't he warn us? He has warned us in his word over and over again. How many times has God given you chance after chance? Like, have you ever done the I'm counting to five and now you got to be obedient thing? How many times has God count to like 5,562? Right? God does that for us. He gives us grace after grace. But eventually he says, okay, you're going to see how this plays out. And I hope you learn this way. That's God's grace for us. Because his goal isn't your happiness right now. His goal is he wants you with him and all for all of eternity. His goal is also for you, that you help him seek and save those that are lost. And if your life doesn't measure up to who Jesus is, people are going to look at me, they're going to look at you and say, well, I don't really want that. He's just like everyone else. The only difference is they're busy on Sunday. I want to be so close to Jesus that I'm reflecting him in his image. Amen? That I look and I talk and I act like him, and I am a far way off, but the goal is one step closer every day. One step closer. Joshua 1:8. So Joshua is a leader under Moses, but eventually Moses passes away and that is just passed on to him, okay? And so Joshua is in charge of leading Israel now that Moses is gone. And this is how it starts out. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. And only then will you what? Prosper and succeed in what? All you do. There are people out there that are trying to get to the prosper and succeed in all you do, and it's just like hit and miss. They're trying to hit a moving target because they're not obeying the first part of that. Especially as a believer, you can't expect to prosper and succeed in what you're doing if God isn't a part of it. If he isn't a part of it, it's not going to work. Joshua 8:34. I love what Joshua does. He says, then Joshua read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the book of instruction. We're holding the book of instruction. We have the book of instruction ourselves, right? So is there something where you are not walking in obedience? Is there something in your life that you know better? Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Is there anything where you're 90% there, but you need that, you know, 10% more, that 1% more? Is there anything that needs to change today, not tomorrow, in order for you to be closer to Jesus Christ? In order for you to be aligned with the Holy Spirit and doing what God has asked you to do? Is there anything that's going on at work or at home or anywhere, issues with your kids or unforgiveness between people that you've known a long time ago? Whatever it is, there's something in your life that a muscle is tweaked, that it is a little bit out of place. And God wants to speak to that, and he wants it to be repaired, and he wants to fix it, but he needs you to be willing to go through that. It's not instantaneous, but God wants us to be obedient. Maybe you know that God is calling you to generosity financially. Maybe you know that God is calling you to just live generously as a person, to have joy in your heart, but you're not ready yet. Maybe God's telling you to stop spending, but you have one more thing you need to buy. You with me? You know what I'm talking about? After this is done, I'll follow Jesus. After this one thing, just this one more time, and then I'll be all in. No, that's not how it works. And people say, well, I'm a work in progress. Nobody's perfect. I'm better than I used to be. And I think God the Father would say, no, you know better. You know better. I've been having these talks with my kids a lot lately. You know better. You shouldn't be doing that. You know better. God wants immediate obedience. Amen? Immediate obedience. Joshua 24, verse 15. So Joshua's standing up before all the people. and especially the men here, and he's saying this, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served before, beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But what does he say here about himself and his family, his household, what he's going to do? What does he say? But as for me and my family, we will what? Serve the Lord. Boom! Declaration. This is where I stand. This is where I fall. This is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to be a woman of God. I'm going to be exactly who God created me to be, and I'm going to be strong in that. This is something I pray over my kids all the time. My goal as a dad is to raise up a strong woman so far, and men of God. Amen? I tell them that. I pray that over them. They're little tiny tykes, and I'm saying, you're going to be a strong man of God. You're going to be obedient to his word. You're going to walk this out. And what I'm doing is I'm saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As long as you are under my roof, this is how it's going to be. God is first. Obedience to his word is expected. This is how I want to live. And do I always get it right? Am I always right? No. But you know what they see sometimes? When I mess up, I'll come to them and say, hey, I'm sorry. I messed up. I wasn't doing the right thing in that. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. I didn't allow God to guide me. See, my goal isn't their immediate happiness. And God's goal for you is not immediate happiness. It's long-term fulfillment in his plan and his will. Amen? I want to achieve what God has for me. I want you to achieve what God has for you. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to go through rough stuff and we have to change what we're doing. We have to change how we're living. So as children of God, your role and my role isn't to make the rules. It's to abide in the covenant that comes from the word. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord as long as it's convenient. As long as it doesn't cost me too much. As long as it's non-offensive and PC compliant. Bull, right? Baloney. No. We will not adjust God to fit our image. We will reflect his. We are his image bearer. He is not ours. We cannot adjust the word of God in order to be contemporary in this day, because the contemporary is falling away. It's going to end badly. It already is. You see it. You see it. What is happening in our world to people who choose not to live and abide under God's law and rule? Generation after generation, they're walking in a curse. It's a self-affliction curse. I like what Dr. Tony Evans says. He says, I'm not interested in being popular. I'm interested in being biblical. Woo! I'm not interested in being popular. I'm interested in being biblical. How many of you are interested in being biblical? Amen? How many of you are interested in being strong women of God? How many of you are interested in being strong men of God? How many of you are being interested in walking in faith and placing a stand, you know, firmly rooted in God's word, say, this is where I stand on this issue. And when I find myself not standing with God, I don't expect God to adjust. I expect me to move to his will and his way. That's the way we're supposed to be. That's the way we're supposed to be. So what is it? What is it? What is stopping you from being all in? What is that one thing that you said you're going to deal with, but you just haven't? What is it? What is stopping you? It says God rewards those who diligently seek him. Maybe you don't want to give up your personal freedom. Maybe you don't want to have to check with God before going and doing something. Maybe you want to be your own person. I want you to know that that idea of freedom that you have in your mind when it comes to going your way and to sinning or not walking in obedience and not doing what God wants you to do when he asks you to do it, that freedom you think that you have is actually a prison in a cage. It locks you away from the potential of who you are in God's will. Amen? It locks you away from what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. One of my kids occasionally would go with me somewhere, and then it would just be me and them, and they're sitting in the back, and this happened a week ago with Emily, too. They're sitting in the back of my little black car, and we pull up into the driveway, and we don't go into the garage because everyone knows you can never park a car in a garage because it's full of all the other stuff.
at least my house. Some of you have seen my garage, and you've been praying for me ever since. You need to, okay?
So we're parked there, and a fit has been thrown on the way home. Now, something, I'm not happy about something, and it's not me. The person in the back, the little one, right? Not happy. Park the car, turn the car off, open the door, I get out. Little person stays in the back. Come on in, come on in. That face says not doing it, right? Some of you probably know which kid this is just by that face I gave you. Don't say the name out loud, okay? So with all the grace I can muster, I say, get in the house right now. We're going in. And I go in, right? It's in the afternoon. It's in the evening. The sun's behind the house. So the car isn't in the greenhouse stage thing. This is not at risk to a child or anything like that. This person's old enough to know they can go in. 5 minutes later, we realize the little one is not in with us, right? What is going on? Go out to the car. And the little person is sitting there inside the seat, hasn't moved, and just tears streaming down, crying, 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 face all puffy, snot everywhere. Thinking, man, she's still throwing a fit, unbelievable. Open the door. I couldn't get out. I was locked in. Now, that's not true. Little person thought that, but that isn't what was actually happening. Little person stayed in their seat and didn't try to push the door open. Door was never locked. All you have to do is pull the lever a little bit and push the door open, and you yourself can exit. We have explained this 3 or 4 times to little person. But when little person is having a fit, they forget. When they're not having a fit, know how to do it perfectly fine. When having a fit, don't, no clue. IQ diminishes by half or something. I don't know what's going on. This just happened 3 or 4 times. You think little person would get it by now. Here's the truth. Some of us are just like little person. We're in our problem. We're in our despair. We're in our little black car of poutiness. And we're crying, and we're screaming, and we're saying, Mom and Dad, or we're saying, Jesus, help me. And the whole time, the door is unlocked. The whole time. All you have to do is push the door open and step out. You ever been there? Oh, Jesus, if you just fix it. Jesus already told you how to fix it, and you're sitting there in the chair crying. Open the door. Get your freedom. Get your freedom. Do what God's already told you to do. You know, if you walk and obey in the Word of God, I guarantee you, you're gonna start seeing the solution to the problems that you're facing. But until you start applying this to your life, it won't go where it's supposed to go. Your life will not be where it's supposed to be. And you'll feel like you're trapped in the back of the car while everything else is moving around. Open the door. What was that? Grayson needs to learn how to open the door. I have no idea what just happened. That was a loud noise. How many of you know the door that is your issue right now? You know the problem. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. Did God already give you the answer? All right. Open the door and walk through it. Amen? Let's not over-spiritualize this and ask God to open the door for us when He has already given us the ability to do it, and He's told us how to do it, and He's asking us to do it, and He's asking us to walk in this obedience. We have to follow through with our part of it. Amen? Now, that's not saying that grace doesn't extend over all of this. Grace does extend over all of this. But I don't want to live my life trapped in the back of a vehicle waiting for God to do something he's already done for me. He's already opened the door. He's already told me how to do it. Now, walk through it and walk with me. Amen? We have to stop the pouting. We have to stop the fussing. We have to achieve what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. We need you. God, we desperately need you. God, I pray, whatever that one thing is that we're dealing with, whatever that one thing is that we're dealing with right now, Jesus, I pray that we would not wait until tomorrow, but we would open that door and we would walk through it right now. That we would deal with what we need to deal with. We'd have the conversation we need to have, but we've been putting off. We'd have the guts to follow through, the passion and the braveness to follow through with what you're asking us to do. God, I pray that you would help us to be who you want us to be, that we wouldn't be sitting in the back waiting for something to happen, but we would stand up and be people of action, following your word, of course, not creating our own path, but following the path that you said, this is the way, now walk in it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, I pray that you would take those verses that we've talked about for the last few weeks and you would help us to repeat them, yes, to meditate them on them, yes, but actually to walk it out, live it out. Jesus, I thank you so much that you want to involve us in this, that you want to involve us deeply in the creation of your kingdom, that we're not called to sit, but we're called to serve. Help us to do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand for our closing song.
Where you go, I'll go. Oh, you know, let's try the right key out. Sorry. I was like in back in the beauty church and running back and forth. Okay. All right, let's try that again. Where you go, I'll go. There it is. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight. Higher
Amen. Amen. I think sometimes we forget why our spiritual healthiness matters. Sometimes I forget why my physical health matters. Like, I'll do everything else for everyone else before taking care of myself, and then I start paying the consequences. And what happens eventually is, if I don't take care of my physical well-being, if I'm not lifting the right way when I pick up the box, if I don't eat the right things, eventually everyone around me gets a lower quality bend because I'm not where I'm supposed to be. What happens if you're not living the way that God has called you to live is that you start making negative impacts in other people's lives. Even beyond that, you're not achieving and helping the people the way that you could help them if you're just walking fully in the grace of God. So it's not just you. It's not just me. It's your family. It's your coworkers. All this has a trickle-down effect. If we're not walking in the peace, joy, comfort, and blessing of the Lord, then it impacts other people. Now, don't get me wrong. This message is not to say that you have to do all these things and then God must do this. It's not to say that if you have some physical ailment that there's something wrong with you. When we look at Paul's life, we see that he had problems too. We're all going to have these problems. But if you're looking at your life and there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no comfort, this is a place to check. This is a place to check the engine light. You know what I'm talking about? I replaced my own spark plugs and my van still runs. But I thought the transmission was going out. I thought, oh no, oh no. But the power wasn't getting to the other accelerant, to the gas. You know, it wasn't lighting the right way. The wires were all messed up. And so when I replaced those wires, the van ran again. Sometimes we think the problem is bigger than it is, and all we need to do is reconnect with Him and ask the Holy Spirit to give us guidance, and then the power can flow through us and give us the energy we need to get through our week, give that motor energy to go to where it needs to go. And what seems really big and impossible right now and like you can't handle it, God's going to say, that's easy for me. We can climb mountains with this. We can do easy stuff if you just rely on me. So when I talk about us doing more, I'm not saying heap burdens on you. What I'm saying is that God plus you can accomplish anything, amen? And He'll just take you for that ride. He will take you on that ride if you're willing to go. But He's looking for obedience. He's looking for obedience. That's what He desires. That's what He needs from His people, from His kids. Immediate obedience. I do want to remind you, maybe if you have a pen, you can jot this down, because I want to invite you to this September 10th. That's a Tuesday evening, 6:30 p.m. If you need a ride, let me know. We're going to have kid care available, okay? I want all the elected team members here, if at all possible, because what we're talking about is how we're called to serve as a church and what that's going to look like and how we're going to implement that. And I believe that God wants to do great things through you. Amen? Now say it like you mean it. Amen?
Amen.
I believe God wants to bless you. Amen? I believe He wants you to be leaders at home and in the community and to help other people come with you to know Him. Amen? We're going to do that together. We're going to reach others. We're going to help people grow in Christ as we grow in Christ. Let's pray. You can extend your hands if you want to receive a blessing from the Lord. When we give something, we do that. When we get something, we do that. And it's a biblical thing in His Word. Lord, right now I pray over everyone here. I pray in Jesus' name that they don't walk out of here with guilt. Instead, they walk out in freedom in Jesus' name. So right now we confess whatever it is we have done or haven't done in our life that we know we're supposed to do. Lord, we confess that we mess up, that we fall short of the glory of God. But we're thankful that as Jesus Christ is our advocate, as Jesus Christ is the one in the throne, near the throne of the Father, saying, hey, that's my son, that's my daughter. Right now we thank you that He has purchased our forgiveness already. It's already been paid for. So Lord, we praise you right now for forgiving us of our sins. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't walk right back into it, but we would walk in your freedom in Jesus' name. That we would do what we know we need to do to stop or to start or to do whatever you're asking us to do. Lord, I pray that you would turn the volume up on the Holy Spirit in this church and on your people in Jesus' name. I pray we would hear you clearly and we would walk in obedience. Lord, I pray that those blessings that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 28 would be the blessings that you pour out on this church and in this community, and that they would be something that we walk in instead of the curses, that we would walk in your blessing in Jesus' name, that we would know the fullness of your love and grace, and that we would have your peace in all situations. And when bad things happen, we would have the joy of Christ within us, and your image would be so loud in our life that others can't help but see Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that right now over us, that blessing would fall over us, that we would be representatives of Jesus Christ in a world that so desperately needs you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to gather again next week, that we would have more stories of what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that the week of meditation on Scripture wouldn't end, but we'd be able to live that out. We'd repeat those until they're just in our mind and they're memorized, and we'd be able to walk that out and have so many testimonies of what you're doing in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. And everyone said, amen. If I could have a couple of the deacons come forward. If you need prayer, maybe it's something in your life that you feel like you can't get out of the door on your own. If you need prayer, there's somebody who will pray with you, help you with accountability, and guide you. God bless.
I believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one.
No.